7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 49 of Color of Magic, the Magic Podcast and Gaming Podcast, where we try to give a little bit of ear time to issues for groups that don't normally get it. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and for 49 episodes going, I have the same co-host, Brian Allen. How's it going, dude?
Pretty good. I hadn't written you off yet. This is awesome.
Yeah, no, like, because you know how it goes. Like, you know, I could have Aunt Viv'd you at some point.
Although I hear they supposedly have sat down and talked and reconciled. I still don't think they're bringing her to the Fresh Prince, official Fresh Prince reunion, but at least they've talked.
Yeah, probably not. Probably. By the way, for those who don't get the reference, if you saw the first season of Fresh Prince, for whatever reason, when Fresh Prince of Bel-Air came back for season two, there was a new Aunt Viv. And it was just kind of weird. There wasn't really an explanation. It just was.
I want to say she got like a couple of seasons, didn't she?
Did she? I felt like it was early on. Maybe it was after season two.
I think it was after they were, because I think it had to be toward the end, because that's when she had a kid and they used the kid as like kind of a...
Oh, you're right. It was later.
Because you know, when they had the kid for no reason, the show is, it's almost over.
I just remember it being weird that there was even a new person.
Yeah, but apparently they just, I guess, couldn't stand each other at that point, so...
Which is weird, because who can't stand Uncle Phil?
I want to say it was Will that she really had the problem with. And if it comes down to, hey, one of these people's got to go, it ain't going to be Will Smith.
Well, that's true. We saw how that ended up.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where for a career move, you got to suck it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying you got to put up with, like, hate and abuse or whatever. If that's what's going on, then cool, speak up. But if you just don't get along with somebody, like, that's a big time career move. You got to double check.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go ahead and give everybody a thank you. If you are one of our patrons over on patreon.com, because that's been a huge help to us these last few months, like giving us a chance to make sure everything is paid for, put a little money in our pockets. So like, that's nice. And we do have a new patron this week, John Cooper. So we want to say thank you to you, John, for coming on board. Also, I wrote a lot of postcards because I was behind on postcards. So all of our patrons, except for John, because you're brand new, we do have postcards in the mail to you, for you. So I should be seeing those in the next day or two. Maybe by the time you listen to this. I don't know. But we also have another sponsor I want to tell people about. Cardsphere.com. They are a huge supporter of our content. They even have Brian writing for the website now. So if you want... What's that?
I can confirm they are good people.
They are great people. And their website is a great way to sell your cards, a great place to find stuff if you want to get it at a certain price and not break your budget. And it's not like other websites that have been around in the past. It is real dollars, so you can put money in even with your PayPal account and then just withdraw directly to your PayPal account. So you're actually dealing in real dollars. It's quick. It's a matter of fact, I put four more packages in the mail today. I mailed out to people, so I've got a couple $100 coming. And it's super simple. You put your cards in into your haves list, the conditions and whatnot. Then you just look for people who are looking for your stuff. It puts you together. You just have to hit a button and it shows you all the people looking for your stuff at the price you even want to sell it for. It's amazing. I'm really, even before they came on, I just started using them and I wondered, like, why haven't I been using them from the beginning? It's great. And yes, they are a sponsor and it sounds like I'm kissing their butts, but it's totally worth it. Check it out. Now, all that aside, paid our bills. I want to talk about something, and you know what? I got to be very careful how I word this, but this is very much how the crowd sounded during what was otherwise a moment of silence and unity during the football game to open the season last week. And I didn't understand at all. Well, let me correct that. I understood. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Because you talk about, and I say you being like the royal you, the you being the people that complain about protest and everything, everybody playing the race card and whatever, like those people, right? We have these conversations regularly about what's the right way to protest. And we've now seen, obviously, you know, people have stood around silently in protests. We've had people do marches silently. We've now had riots, obviously. We've had players wear jerseys pregame. Not even, this is even before recently. They're wearing them now with stuff on their jerseys. But before, it was just pregame, a t-shirt that they take off even before the game starts. We've had people post stuff online. We've had people show up and support causes and businesses or show up at rallies. We have seen all these things. And you know what? Every single time it's, why do celebrities get involved? Why do athletes get involved? By the way, they don't care whenever these athletes and celebrities are supporting their side of the argument. They only care when it's the other side of the argument. Why are they in the streets? Why are they blocking traffic? Why do they have to post stuff on social media all the time? Why are they like... And then you get to these athletes who literally, athletes, coaches, trainers, everybody, shoulder to shoulder, they just locked arms for a moment of silence and unity, as they called it. And you could still hear of the whatever, it was a small number of fans. It was, you know, they were at like 10% capacity or whatever. But there were still people booing. Like, that's about as passive as you can be. Like, they didn't even come out and do it during the national anthem. They stayed in the locker. The ones that wanted to stayed in the locker room so they didn't have to be disrespectful to anybody and upset anyone. And then they took a moment. Literally, it started at the two quarterbacks. They were shoulder to shoulder, locking arms, and everybody else locked arms all the way out to like nearly the end zones or whatever. It was a lot of people. And that still had people upset and booing. And that creates these situations when you look at people and they say like, well, they shouldn't be doing it this way. It should be done. Then I always tell them like, then what's the right way? Because we've now had the talks and everything they don't like, well, what is left? Because you're telling people you don't want them talking on talk shows. You don't want them posting stuff on social media. You don't want them writing articles. You don't want them doing stuff pregame or postgame or during the game. You don't want them doing stuff during the anthem. You don't want them doing stuff in the streets. Hell, in some places, people don't even want them doing it in their own damn front yard, you know, because they've had personal signs and stuff torn up. So at what point do you want them to express their displeasure with all the crap going on?
And there is the rub. They don't want you to express your displeasure. They want you to be grateful for whatever you've been given, even if part of that is, hey, you or one of your kids just might get shot randomly. You just got to accept that as a person of color in America.
Yeah, and that's the messed up part. And that's why I said in the beginning, like, I understand. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. So yeah, it's a mess.
And I even heard somebody say, oh, well, no, they weren't booing that. They were confused. They were booing the Texans walking onto the field. Okay, it's only slightly better because how we deteriorated to the point where it's one thing if there's a bad call, if there's a dirty play. We've gotten to where it's just okay just to boo the act of 30-some-odd human beings walking onto a field.
But here's my problem, though. There's one of two things wrong with that. Because you're either... Because those people are likely... Because, I mean, I get it. Some people are just going to boo the opposing team because you're the opposing team, right? But I would venture to guess most of the people are booing because either you weren't out there during the national anthem, which they want you out there, I guess, so they have another reason to yell at you. I don't really know. The other part of that makes it bad is that you were booing during a moment of silence and unity that they were trying to give respect to people.
Yeah.
So that's still not a good enough, even if, like, don't get me wrong, I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan. I don't think too highly of if you're a fan of the Washington football team right now. But if we're having a moment of silence and people are coming out to get in line for their moment of unity that they're having, I'm not going to be booing you.
Yeah, what's wrong in your soul where you're booing the moment of unity? I'm sorry, that's just not.
Yeah, like it's crazy. It is genuinely crazy.
Not cool, not normal. You just got to wonder what's going on. If football is really that important to you, and I say this to somebody that's in Texas right now, football's that important to you, you might want to check your priorities.
For real. And I get it. Not to get overly political, but this is a political thing, unfortunately. I mean, people being racist or racially insensitive shouldn't be a political issue, but it's kind of become one. That we have somebody in the highest office in our land that sadly doesn't even talk down any of this stuff. Supports a lot of the people and organizations that do feel this way. And it's just fueling the fire. Hell, I saw a thing today where he was basically trying to blame people for things when they don't even have the power to do it, and he's the president that can do it. But people are still going to follow everything he says and support the people he supports and whatever blindly, even when his words don't make sense. And that's what gets us into this type of scenario. So I know that's a downer to start the show on, but man, that was just like a sad thing to see. It was very sad. All right, Brian, let's see if you can pull us out of this. What did you learn last week?
Wow. Again, we didn't talk about this beforehand. One of the things I had notes, and then we got off on this admittedly downer in the beginning, because I want to talk about somebody dying. So yeah, now I feel like we really should have.
Oh, go for it. My lesson from last week isn't an exciting one either. It's another downer. Just let you know.
Oh my, yeah, we really should have. This is actually several days old by now, but I did want to mention, as I'm sure y'all are aware by now, I'm a big Scooby-Doo fan. I've mentioned that several of my What Did You Learn have pertained to Scooby-Doo or some form of that. And Joe Ruby, the co-creator of Scooby-Doo, actually passed away recently at age 87. And it's just kind of a personal hero to me. I just wanted to make sure that I acknowledge that, because now that I've, you know, I've been able to make somewhat of a living writing for a few years now, imagine creating anything that is still going 40 years after you created, whether it's a book, a movie, in this case, a cartoon. And think about how many people, as soon as this cartoon came out, including Hanna-Barbera, tried to emulate Scooby-Doo's success to varying degrees of, you know, varying degrees of skill. Even Hanna-Barbera was notorious for, they cranked out about 15 other shows that were some form of, here's a bunch of kids and some kind of talking animal, or speed buggy was a car, or just, they did this show 15 times and couldn't replicate success, because it was just a unique, just crazy, catchy kind of thing.
Man, for real, showing our age, but y'all, if y'all don't know what a speed buggy is, go YouTube that thing, and then think about how ridiculous cartoons used to be.
It's Scooby-Doo with a car. It's basically what it is.
Yeah, it's as dumb as it sounds, but hey, we watched it.
Exactly, because, you know, when you're 10, and I'm not going to kid you. I miss, you know, we're showing our age again. I miss Saturday morning cartoons. My kids will never know what that's like, because, of course, they can push a button now and watch a cartoon anytime they want to, which is part of why cartoons aren't a thing on Saturday morning anymore. But for kids of a certain age, Saturday morning was the highlight of your week, and Scooby-Doo was one of those reasons. So, again, thank you, Joe Ruby.
It's funny you mentioned that. I think officially the last regularly aired Saturday morning cartoon was as recent as like 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah. They lasted for a while. And actually, Sinclair is trying to bring them back.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, bringing them back during the pandemic would have been great. I think people just missed the mark, missed an opportunity.
And it's just, again, how do you compete with Netflix, iPhones, tablets? There's just, but part of
it. Well, I think it's even bigger than that because we have so many networks that just show a lot of cartoons. Well,
exactly. You got Cartoon Network and Boomerang where it's just 24/7. There is.
Oh, yeah. Like Disney has them off and on. You know, they've got stuff on. You've got whatever the Hasbro network or whatever that had like the My Little Ponies and all that stuff. Like, so you have all these different channels that just kids can find cartoons throughout the day. They don't have to wait till Saturday morning.
Because that's what was great about it as a kid. You know, you didn't. I mean, there were some afternoon cartoons, but especially at the like when I first started growing up in the 70s, Saturday morning was it. That's where all the jams were, cartoon was. I don't care what time of morning they put the Super Friends on. I was getting up. 6 a.m., all right, 6 a.m. Super Friends. Now I got out of bed to go to school for 7 a.m., but hey, if Superman's on, I'm in.
Hey, you got priorities, man.
There you go.
All right, so my deal, from what I learned last week, was that there are a lot of people that still don't understand how hard it is for the Black community to have conversations about depression and mental illness. And this came up because for those of you that don't follow the sports ball, I know we do talk about it periodically here on the show. The Cowboys quarterback, Dak Prescott, had his brother pass back in April, and he kind of went through an off and on, I would call it a light bout of depression, you know, the way he described it. And one of the talk show hosts on one of the Fox Sports shows, and this isn't because it's Fox, it's just this is this guy's MO that, you know, he gets people stirred up for conversation, and that's how they get their ratings. He did the same thing on ESPN when he was on in the morning. But Skip Bayless decided to take a shot at Dak Prescott for being weak and not showing leadership qualities because he chose to tell people, like, yeah, I wasn't really all there. I wasn't prepared to practice, you know, because he was dealing with stuff from his brother dying. And granted, this was also in April, right? You're talking about, he's talking about this in just beginning of September. So he's had time to get over it. He's shown up to all the practices. He's been there for what little bit of semblance of training camp they had. Like, it's not like he shirked his job and responsibilities at all. But the fact, and he even said later, he said, look, I came out and talked about it so other people can talk about it. That people understand that even people in my position go through this stuff. And that's a big deal because we've talked about it even here on the show that, like, as a Black guy, we're already told growing up that, hey, all of these things are stacked against you. So you have to be that much better to succeed at anything you want to do. And I'm not saying they're not wrong, you know, as life has turned out to show in some cases. But you're also taught, like, you don't have opportunity to show weakness. You can't worry about these things. You have to find a way to get over it, you know, whatever. And that's just not a good way to be. I think it leads to a lot of, you know, depression, other mental issues. I think it leads to a lot of pent-up anger issues because people don't learn how to communicate and how to talk about some of these personal issues, especially in the minority communities. And to see somebody come out and just say that when it wasn't like, I would get it almost if Dak had all these issues with like practice and his teammates and not wanting to be there and blah, this, that, and the other, and then threw this out there almost as an excuse after the fact. But he's done everything. And then he just put that out there. He said, hey, maybe I should talk about this. So it wasn't like he'd done anything wrong. It wasn't like he wasn't ready for the first game or any of that stuff. He just wanted to have the conversation. And to his credit, the co-host of the show, Shannon Sharp, at least came out and defended it. And he understood the position and tried to talk some sense into Skip, and Skip tried to double down on it.
Yeah, his apology was basically on the lines of an "I'm sorry you were offended" apology.
Yeah, like I didn't understand that at all.
Where he's basically saying, "Well, okay, I wasn't talking about the depression from his brother committing suicide. I was referring to his other depression," as if that some way makes it better.
Yeah, that's worse. Because at least depression from a particular issue is short term. Like, if you're just talking about somebody having a clinical thing they deal with on the regular, that makes you even more of a jerk.
Yeah. It's part of, you know, this whole phenomenon of hot takeism, where just people, to get the ratings, try to say things that are more and more controversial, and we've hit critical mass. There's, at this point, we're in the post-Howard Stern era. There's almost nothing you can say over the airwaves that's going to be so offensive that nobody has heard it before, and you only get yourself in trouble trying at this stage.
Yeah, and the interesting thing to me, one of the things I think people misinterpreted about what Howard Stern did is he was sensationalizing things.
Yes, he's playing a character, essentially, like a pro wrestler almost.
But even beyond that, like, he was like, okay, I know the subject of sex bothers people, so let's go to this nth degree, right? We know, like, these weird social situations make people feel awkward. Let's talk about them or do a contest involving that once a month on the show, right? This wasn't just, let's just outright insult somebody for the sake of insulting someone.
And even he has gone over the line a couple of times, because as some of you probably have heard, Howie Mandel is, like, seriously OCD, germophobic, and they would do things, you know, like, I think at one point they had some guy that opened the door with his genitalia because they knew Howie would not be able to touch that door after that.
Yeah. And that's where you really are going over the line, right? Yeah. Like, you know, somebody has a real serious social issue, stigma, whatever, and really trying to play on that and just needle somebody. That's definitely going over the line. But anyway, like, I just wanted to bring that up because we've mentioned it before that we need to be better in all communities. Honestly, I don't care if you're white, black, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. Like, we need to be better in general talking about health issues.
Yeah.
And especially mental health issues, because it's one of those things that, because you can't see it, we don't give it the same respect as other diseases. You know, we see somebody in a wheelchair or hobbling with a crutch or whatever, we go, oh, they have a problem, I get it. Or we see where they can't physically function for a cognitive issue, we say, oh, okay, let me help this person out. But when somebody says, oh, well, I'm having a hard time dealing with this thing today that you can't see, for some reason, we question it.
We tell them to suck it up a lot of times. Or
yeah, and it's just,
or that, well, you know, other people have it so much worse than you, and that's not what it's about.
Oh, for sure.
Knowing for that sure. Somebody is starving in some other country does not relieve anyone here or anywhere else of their clinical depression.
Yeah.
Sorry, parents, you know, who have run that one, parents, grandparents, whoever, you know, that has run that one. You have no reason to be depressed. Like, you don't need a reason. Any more than you need.
Shoot, I didn't even get that. You know what I got? I got, you know what? People in hell want ice water, too. And I was like, well, gosh, wow. Damn. True story. All right, let's switch gears here for a second. This last week, we had the Mythic Invitational online, which was won by Seth Manfield. So that's his third major event win, I believe. So congratulations to Seth, who, if you didn't already think Seth Manfield was one of the best players in the world, or especially of the last probably 10 years, get on board quick. I mean, the dude's name keeps showing up near the top of the standings. He's always finishing deep in tournaments. He's got some sponsors now. He's drawing decent numbers on Twitch. Like, the dude's, he's somebody. If you don't know, go find out. But the reason we bring up the Mythic Invitational, I guess technically there's two things. The first is how the community reacted to the technical issues they had over the weekend. And let me say first, I am not the biggest fan of how some stuff is done for coverage for Wizards. And I have been a viewer of it forever. I've also now worked behind the scenes for them. So I don't feel like I'm speaking out of turn there. But I will say this, even when I did my stint with them, it was during the time of COVID, right? And that creates a lot of complications. Like, you literally have every single person involved, which at that point I think is like 8 or 10 casters of some variety, whether they're news desk or play-by-play or whatever. You've got Rich Hagen, who's managing all those people. You've got, I'm sure, some people at HQ. You have multiple people with your production company, streaming partners, whatever. And their teams, I'm sure, are not all in the same place either. And everybody's got different connections, different internet issues. God forbid, up here in the Northwest, we've got fire, smoke, wind all happening right now. Like, it's not a normal time. And yes, there have been problems. But when something goes wrong right now, I mean, you got to give a free pass. We don't have a choice. Like, it's hard to judge what's going on. And, okay, let me also say, there were people saying, oh, well, this doesn't happen in other games. That's actually not true. If you do a Google search, multiple other games have been having issues for the last 5 years to today that I could find quickly, where they had major internet connections go down. And this was even in a place where everybody was in the same location and still had to halt the event, rebuild the whole tournament, whatever, and they were down for a couple hours. Like, we've had weird situations with rulings or people getting DQ'd. We've had, like, everybody's having issues with different events, all different ways. So to say it's only Wizards that are having, that's just patently false. Now, feel free to be like, hey, this needs to be better. Cool, we can have that conversation. But to just say they're the only ones having problems, like, come on. That just makes you look bad in the argument department. It really does. But it's just, seeing the struggles, it's hard. And then they had a situation where eventually they just shut down the whole thing on the last day. They just said, you know what? Too many issues. We're just going to get everything together. All the matches will be pre-recorded. We're going to load them up later. And then you can just watch them at a later date. And they got them up the next day, actually. So on Monday morning, you were able to watch the final day, and the matches were up and coverage was with it and everything. It was fine, right? But then people complained about, like, well, I don't know why they're not letting the individual players stream, or they're not letting the players talk about it, and they're keeping all the results secret and whatever. And it's like, well, that's kind of the whole point of the production. You know what I mean? Like, if you spoil the surprise and just tell everybody, like, are people going to come watch? Probably not.
I wouldn't think so.
But I'll tell you, here was the kicker for me. There were a couple of people I know of, so I'm sure there were many more, that talked. Man, they almost got me cussing on here. that were talking a lot of crap about, well, Wizards coverage is stupid, and this tournament system's terrible, and Mythic Invitationals don't matter, and all that other crap they were saying. But then all of a sudden, when they can't watch one, oh, Wizards is the worst thing ever, and you knew people were going to watch, and blah, blah, blah. Like, really? So we can't have it both ways. Either everything's terrible and nobody gives a damn and nobody's watching, or this is the most important thing and you should put every single resource into it. But you're trying to have both sides of the argument. And I don't care what side of the fence you're on. Cool. We can have that discussion. But trying to play both sides just so you can be mad all the time? That's a bad look. It is. I mean, let's be honest about it. Like, you just... These are the people that... And the reason it bothers me is when there is something we want to get fixed, you're forcing the company to have to wade through all that other crap. So they don't even... They can't even discern easily what really matters, depending on who's reading the content, right? The wrong person looking at it says, oh, well, here's a problem we need to work on. And it turns out that might be a minor issue, but because 100 of these knuckleheads sent some post on Twitter and then sent emails about something that's completely irrelevant that they probably don't even really care about. They just want to be mad because that's what they do. Well, now somebody has to go deal with that issue instead of focusing time, money, and resources on a bigger part of the real issues. And it wasn't like people weren't trying. You know, I saw people calling for people's jobs and this person should be fired. It's just like, really? You're going to call for somebody to be fired over that? Now, I will say, there's some people that probably need to be reprimanded because of some of the social posts we had up during the event. One of them in particular was, I'm trying to remember the way it was worded. They were trying to be playful with the people's last names or their names. So it was like, share this crab to support Gab or whatever. But then there was the other one was, they literally used the poop emoji to retweet this poop to support whoever it was. And I was like, all the things that rhyme with poop, you, that's what you went with? Like, you literally could have done a scoop. You could have used one of the spoons emojis. Like, that would have been better.
It's the Dr. Seuss edition of Color of Magic. What rhymes with poop?
But I'm just saying, there's emojis you could have used. Why did we use, like, using poop at all, unless you're just being funny and both people get, like, a negative thing, and that's just part of the shtick for that post, then cool. But, and I don't think the people, whoever posted, I don't think it was about showing favoritism. I think it was literally one of those posts that, like, if you'd have stopped for, like, 15 seconds and just gave that another look before you hit send, you might have saved yourself some trouble.
True of so many times that people have pressed send on various things.
Yep. Every time I see it, I think about it. It was... Herm Edwards, they have him talk to the rookies every year. They do a symposium. And there's a video out there where he's telling them, don't hit send. Like, that's literally it. Like, if you're going to be on social media, just don't hit send. Like, that's one of the biggest messages he gives them. But yeah, I just think the production, yeah, they had issues. The majority of it was fine. Let's be real. It wasn't like... It was four consecutive days of unwatchable crap. Like, it had some positive moments, but yeah, there were some problems that definitely made it less pleasurable than it should have been.
Nobody caught peeing on stream, right? That's like the new standard for
no. Okay, let's, right? So this is, now that you mention it, I do have to bring something up, right? Nobody was peeing on stream, which, by the way, I don't have a problem with that. Like, it wasn't like you saw somebody's junk hanging out. Like,
it was a total obvious accident.
Yeah. Like, things are going to happen when you're doing live production. Like, there's just nothing you can do about it. But also in this case, our tournament winner, Seth, I believe it was maybe like, it was early in the event, maybe like round four-ish. He's a featured match. And he has a pop-up show up on his screen because they're just showing their screens for the coverage, and it's only up for a couple of seconds, but it was one of those ones that was like, find hot girls in your area.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. Again, people tried to blow it out of proportion. and be like, oh, well, how is that okay? And you're going to put that up, but you're going to come after Lizbeth for having an OnlyFans. And we're like, those things are not the same. Let's be honest. And they're not even remotely associated. Like, a dude had a random pop-up on his screen during coverage, which he probably couldn't easily turn off or didn't even know it was going to come up to begin with.
Yeah, that ain't anything he planned, to be certain.
And I don't give a damn about either Lizbeth or Seth's personal life, to be honest. But that doesn't mean Seth's even engaging with, because how many times, let's be real, how many times y'all been online on some edgy site that's not even a porn site or an adult site, but you get some pop-ups that are questionable? I'm sure it's happened to many people. Seth just happened to be caught on live coverage when it went down. So people trying to make that connection, I was like, come on now. This is just misguided anger. I get it. I'm with you. Feel free to support sex workers. I got no problem with that. But to try to be like, every time anything remotely, I don't know, even remotely sexual in nature comes up, like, try to throw that as like, oh, well, see, this is fine. Why is it? Those aren't the same. They're not. Literally a random pop-up that we don't even know the activity at all that that pop-up is related to shows up, and we're going to say like, oh, well, that should be a thing Wizards should just be all about, and issuing apologies and whatever. Like, really? I don't get it. That just made no sense to me. But again, we're in the time of COVID and everybody's high strung about everything. So I don't know. But there was another thing that I wanted to mention. And we talked about this just briefly prior to the show. But, and okay, and let me say this first. This is something that came from Alias V. And I have spoken with Alias V online a few times. We've worked on some projects together. Like, I think in no way is she remotely in any way trying to be racially insensitive by the statement she made. I 100% believe that in my heart of hearts. But she did make a reference, and I believe somebody was attacking with some creatures or whatever, and just made like a swing low reference, which, for people who don't know, and honestly, she may not even know this, honestly. She might know now because the internet made a big thing out of it. But people are like, oh, well, what racist thing is somebody going to say today? Blah, blah. I was like, come on, guys. Like, this is the fight we're trying to fight. And for those who don't know, the Swing Low, Sweet Chariot is an old, like, slave hymnal talking about going to the afterlife and the gates of heaven and whatever, right? You're passing on. Most people don't know that reference. They've heard the Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And people have heard it, but they don't know what it is. My guess is that was probably, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Alias about it, but I would guess that's probably the same thing that happened there. But again, people were just like, oh, I can't, she just said this on live coverage, and I don't believe they're not making an apology. But like, is this the level we're at? Like, literally, yeah. Just say, like, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Just be like, yeah, didn't know, won't say it again, my bad. Like, her making that statement is in no way oppressing me. It's in no way insulting me. It's in no way destroying my heritage. And truthfully, even if you see it, like, it was not said in any way, shape, or form with any malice or intent or whatever behind it. Now that it's brought up, if she does it again, then it'd be like, yo, Aileed, come on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I don't know. Like that. But it was funny because I think in one of those threads, it was also brought up that like the whole eeny, meeny, miny, mo thing comes from like a phonetic thing in, I believe it was one of the Asian dialects years ago that kind of became that, which also, once it became that, in the U.S., it had a certain N-word as part of it. You know, so it does have some negative connotation that people don't necessarily know about. What were you saying there?
That's another thing that I think most people don't know.
Oh, definitely not. But I feel that like to me,
every week I learned about some new phrase, and it's been part of my vernacular that I found out, like, oh crap, that's racist on an almost weekly basis. Because
yeah, and that was kind of my thing, right? I was trying, like, watching how many people in those threads were like, oh crap, I didn't know this was a thing. So if you have people that genuinely don't know, that support you and are in your social circles, and, you know, you socialize with them on Facebook and Twitter and whatever regularly, and they are also going like, oh shit, I didn't know that was a thing. Like, is it possible that she also didn't know it was a thing? Very likely. But again, I'm fine to say, like, hey, cool, we talk about it, we point it out, great. If it continues after that, go nuts. Because that'd be the same way as me saying something that's insensitive to, I don't know, Muslims. And then I find out after the show that somebody sends me a message that's like, hey, dude, I don't know if you know, but this thing, you know, is harmful in these ways. And I'm like, oh, crap. Then I probably shouldn't do it again. But if I do it the second time, then, yeah, it's okay if you're angry in that second one. Because you're like, dude, I sent you a message. We talked about this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and you're still doing it. What gives? So, yeah, I don't know. I honestly, again, I think some of this is just we're all pent up. We've been cooped up. We're not getting to hang out with our friends. We're not getting to go to our favorite places. People are struggling with their jobs or finances or whatever. And it's just manifesting in some of these, unfortunately, overly aggressive negative ways, I think. And I want to be clear here. I'm not saying let's just give a free pass to all of these everybody's first mistakes or whatever. But let's take stock for a moment and see, like, what is the malice intent? Is it an actual mistake? You know, whatever. Before we start attacking people, calling for their jobs, trying to destroy people's financial livelihoods or whatever because of a misunderstanding. Or just a complete ignorance to a topic. Because I think that's what we're dealing with here. But let's continue on this topic of racial insensitivity. Because the thing came up, I believe, I'm going to double check the article. I believe it was 2 days ago as of the time of this recording. Yep, September 14. On Medium.com. And this was pointed out to me. Somebody had shared it with me in a message. And the premise, okay, the title of this article is Hasbro's Crusade Against Representation. Which part of it was like, okay, this is the thing we've been talking about. So maybe it's relevant. But what the person goes on and on about is the removal of the cards that we dealt with back in June. A full 3 months ago. So it was very weird to me that this is even a thing we're discussing right now. Like, why is this even being brought up? Like, we all talked about it as a community. We all thought the intent was solid. Maybe a little overboard. But we get what you're trying to do. That's a solid first step. Now, clock's ticking. You got 4 months to show us. From the time we most recently talked about it, you know, when we start getting around to February-ish, we're going to need to be seeing some things as far as like this new diversity director and some of these other things we've talked about. But as far as banning the cards goes, we were okay with that. Kind of made sense, right? Invoke prejudice, Protish gypsies, crusade, jihad, right? We get it. We get why they're on the list. But this person, Rich Shea, ended up, his concern was that removing jihad and crusade removed his representation. because he believes that, and he shares a story where like the cards existing allowed him to, I guess, tell the history or the story of like the Crusades and stuff. And he feels that banning jihad basically equates jihad with being a racist thing. Which the jihad itself is not inherently racist. But I don't, and granted, I will say this. This is one of those situations where, and you know, we talked about this, right? We can't tell people what to be offended by. Because this may very well have bothered this person. So I can't speak to that. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know how much this matters to them. But it's also tough because we kind of look at it and say, look, the community had these discussions. And we talked about it. And again, we're talking about like intent and everything else. And we kind of understood how everything on the list got to be on it. We did think it was a bit much, but we kind of get it. And I only can think of two people I know that are very forward Muslim and play Magic. I mean, I'm sure there's others, but I don't talk to everybody about their religion. So I can't speak to the other people I know that happen to be Muslim because I don't know the religion of most of the people that I associate with for gaming, to be honest. But the two I do know of, they were okay with it. So this creates kind of a weird situation, right? Because again, we talk about the things the companies have to deal with. How should they respond to this type of article? Right? Should they have to put out a big thing that says, no, we really weren't. Maybe this was misguided. We overreacted, blah, blah, blah. We weren't trying. And what are you going to do? You're not going to reinstate the card. Because then now that creates a whole other problem, right? Because like, oh, if you do that, well, how come Crusade can't be back in? Or how come this card can't be? And now we have to have that talk, right? So that's probably even worse. And then, and this is the one's probably going to get me some hate. But I'm going to be real about it. When you see something like this pop up more than 3 months later, you kind of had this feels to me like the definition of clout chasing. And I don't even like that phrase. But like, why bring that up now? Right? There's other issues that have come up since that you could talk about. There's other things that have to do with representation that we can talk about as far as gaming or Magic or Wizards or Hasbro are concerned, for sure. I mean, hell, we're doing podcasts about things right now, right? Why now? And I'm not sure. And it's literally the only thing that's referencing this for, because I looked and I like, it's the only thing from the last, far as I can tell, more than a month that anybody's posted or whatever. So it was just a weird timing. But this person, Richard Shea, PhD, like, he feels strongly about it. The article's up. Feel free to go read it. I mean, I will say this for it, though, right? There is something to still be taken away in the sense that, you know, even within a community, people are going to have different perspectives. Like, you know as well as I do, right? When you went through probably middle school, junior high, how many people looked at you and asked you or apologized because they didn't know whether to call you black, brown, African-American, Negro, colored? Like, they didn't even know what was acceptable. And depending on which black person you talked to, different things were acceptable.
And I just talked about this with somebody on stream the other day. And I absolutely remember that. I remember having a whole conversation in college about what one of my white friends should call me, and I had really, I'm trying to, you know, get my journalism degree. I have not thought about which term I prefer to be called.
Yeah, but that, and you know, and this is kind of like the equivalent situation for us, right? Like, people found different words to have different connotation racially.
We act
so some things bothered people more than others.
I actually, you know, one of my friends was talking about the whole, I forget the senator's name, who I want to say, I believe he was one of the ones, like, he may have said colored and wanted to know why, you know, that was no longer acceptable. And you just, so this is one of my friends asked me, like, what, I think it was Roger Stone, when Roger Stone said, I can't believe I'm, you know, arguing with this Negro. And I said, you know, this is a situation where context matters. In the case of Roger Stone, I absolutely believe he is using the word Negro as a substitute for the thing he really wants to say.
Fair. Roger, he probably is.
Said that with all the malice in the world, in my opinion. Now, on the other hand, if I run into somebody's grandpa and they are legit, you know, 85 or 90 years old, and they may not remember the right term. And so they may say colored, Negro, and I'm not going to, you know, yeah, context matters. I'm not going to go off on them because I can see they're trying their level best to remember what the right word is. But yeah, I absolutely believe Roger Stone's intent was he was using, because that's where the N-word comes from. It's a mispronunciation of the word Negro. I absolutely believe Roger Stone was using that word in place of the word he probably uses when he's not in front of a microphone. But now if I encounter somebody's, you know, grandfather or grandmother, they're 85 or 90 years old, and I can see they're really struggling. They don't remember what to call me. Yeah, context matters. I'm not going to be offended by them saying, you know, colored or any other permutation, you know, as long as it's not the word that shall not be named. Because there's, again, yeah, there's context and there's connotation behind that word. And with the Crusade article, I think Wizards probably decided, and especially until they get some more diversity, I think it's a good decision that they're not going to try to depict any real life conflicts such as a jihad or a crusade, because right now they don't have the people in the room to know how to do it fairly, reasonably, and in a way that doesn't offend somebody. So I think they're going to stick to conflicts on, you know, Innistrad and insert a consent car, insert fictional realm here until they have a more diverse staff and are able to do that better.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point, right? When you're making that decision, and I don't know, I mean, maybe they did run it by a couple of people. Because, I mean, for as much as we talk about Wizards not having representation at all, like, I have been inside those walls and been employed there. Like, there is some. I mean, like, so I would like to think they probably even said, like, hey, if we put this list out, does this make sense to you? And if the people said, cool, yeah, makes sense, all right, we'll run with it. Better safe than sorry. We'll just nix all these things. And some of that is also, I think, and this is me speaking a little bit out of turn here, but I could see where the decision was made to say, you know what? We realize putting all these things in here were probably small mistakes. And we shouldn't have done it. Granted, you're talking about stuff that happened 27 years ago, but let's just nix them and just basically do what we can to wipe them from history. Which, obviously, the physical cards are always going to exist or whatever, and you're not going to change that. But at least you can say, okay, we can do what we can so people don't have to encounter these. But I thought it was interesting. Like I said, the fact that the article came up so late and this person had this perspective and it didn't seem to align with what other people I know in that same background seem to believe. So I don't know.
And as you said, different people concerned that we say all the time, we're not a monolith. We are not speaking for the entire Black congregation, nor would we presume that we could.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. I get it, right? Like, this might be a case where this is just somebody who thinks differently than other people in their group. And they felt the need to post an article, even if it was 94 days later, 96 days later, whatever it is, right? It's just very interesting. I don't know what to make of it, honestly. But it's one of those ones that at this stage, I always ask people, okay, cool, now that you've done that, I wish I could speak to the person to kind of understand, like, what are you hoping comes from it? right? Because a lot of people complain, but then there's like no solution. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I just want to be mad about this. Okay, cool. What are some ideas that you think would be a positive fix here? And because, like, honestly, I don't think there's a good solution for Wizards at this point. Like, they've acknowledged their history is screwed up, which we agree with. They put out a couple of short-term fixes. And now they said, hey, we're working on some long-term fixes. I'm not sure what else there is to do at that point. At least as far as this subject's concerned.
Because as you said,
so now we wait and see.
Reinstating any of the cards is a thing that's going to happen.
No, that doesn't make any sense at this stage. Okay, we're starting to run a little bit long, so let's talk about. This is a quick one. This isn't going to be a long dinner table discussion, but this is something I think you can relate to a bit.
Hello?
Because there's been a lot of people that seem to want to knock content that doesn't fit the competitive player mentality. And the reality is, this happens, and we see it a lot, because the competitive players tend to be the most active socially, right? They're the ones always trying to consume the most information. They're following the most people online. Like it's what helps them be competitive, right? Is being in touch with all the information all the time. But we know, now granted, competitive players, I say we know, a lot of competitive players still don't know this because I still have to argue with some of them about it. But the majority of the money within any gaming community, hell, within anything, I would imagine, not even just the gaming community, is from casual users. So when somebody puts up an article or a video or a deck list or whatever, it's especially if they're putting up commander stuff, they might just be building a fun themed commander deck. Yeah, they're not playing the most powerful, best card. That's not the goal. But like, and you've said yourself, you're very largely a casual player, right? In a lot of the games.
Oh, definitely.
So how often do you seek out content for whatever it is that you're looking for and like are appreciative that it's not all super competitive?
Oh, all the time. You know, I love to see, you know, just a weird, you know, especially if it's some kind of different tribal take. I definitely want to see that. I love seeing a new commander decks. And that's not to say I don't, you know, if you got a great list that, like, I watch all your content, you have stuff that's, you know, more for this is probably going to be a thing that's competitive. And I mean, I still love a lot of it. And where there's sometimes they intersect. Sometimes you put together, hey, like a knight deck and like, oh, wait, yeah, this actually, you know, slams. Let me try to put this together and see what I can do with it.
Yeah, I find it interesting, you know, because I think you're right. There are some times that will just intersect and then like there's a thing that's tricky or quirky and fun and like, oh, and it happens to be competitive. But it's interesting because I think some people take their complaints to the nth degree to where they don't even realize what they're saying anymore. And I say this as an example. I have one from 2 days ago, actually, where I posted I want to say it was the mono red list I posted. Because for those of you who don't know, I did this whole project where for like a week I put up multiple decks a day, was in the card deck list leading up to the streamer early access event. Which, by the way, thank you, Wizards of the Coast, for letting me play. I'll be doing that again right after we're done recording today. But the person came on there and left a comment of, well, this deck sideboards terribly and it's probably not competitive enough because it's too reliant on this particular card or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, first off, and this is one of the few times I for real clap back at somebody. I did it professionally, but it was like, okay, one, none of us have played at that point any games with any of the new cards yet. So we don't really know how all of these deck building interactions are going to work. The second is you're making statements on a deck sideboarding poorly when it's a best of one deck that doesn't even have a sideboard with it. And not only that, you don't even know what the other decks would be in the format yet to even know what you would be able to sign into to even make that assumption. And I literally put the words, you're kind of just spouting words. You should probably slow down before posting.
But I know all the best words. I'm sorry I had to.
Yeah, but that's the point, right? You have all these people that just want to be right and they're trying to prove their knowledge or whatever. And the dude was just literally spouting words. And it's like, dude, even if you don't like it, that's cool. Not everybody's going to like everything I put up. Not everything's for you. Like, I know some decks are just like, we're trying an experiment. I even said that when I started doing the deck, because some of them were like, because of these double face lands and stuff, like, well, how low can we go on land counts? And I built some with 13 or 14 lands. And I even told people in the video, like, this may not be right. You probably need at least 17 or 18, but we're going to try 14, you know?
Yeah, and I love seeing that stuff. I want to see, you know, I'm always trying to figure, hey, there's decks, you know, obviously, usually more controlled decks, and maybe they run one or two creatures. I love seeing the extreme end of things and just kind of what ridiculous thing you can get away with, both in casual and in competitive.
But you know what? Like, I think it's totally okay for people to have their casual part of the internet within whatever hobby I have. I mean, hell, even with disc golf, there's people that come up with all these weird, wacky formats to play when they get bored of playing the normal way, or the holes in the courses are too long in their local courses. They come up with these other variants or something. That's fine. I'll probably never play those, but it's cool that somebody's finding a way for people to still have fun with it. And if that's you building weird themed magic decks or whatever, great. Like, I've literally seen where people have posted on other people's work about, oh, you're not even a great player. Or how'd you decide this was going to be in the deck, or these dumb plays you make? And I was like, okay, they've never claimed to be otherwise. Like, I do content every day and I have people complaining about my thoughts on some decks or how I play some decks. And I was like, you realize I'm literally playing this deck for one day. And that's it. It's probably never going to be played by me again. I'm not going to put extra time to, like, and I literally have people going, like, well, what would you replace or do this? Or why would you play blah, blah? Or are you planning on doing? Like, no, I'm not. Like, it's me putting it out there just to say, like, hey, does this work?
You're not playing the rogue deck again? Is this not happening?
Well, there's a new rogue deck, and I might play that.
True.
New rogue. But not the old one.
Never touch the old one again.
Nope. But I was telling it, like, these are things I'm putting up as thought experiments, basically. Let's try different variations. Let's try to see what quirky cards we can fit in there, whatever. And if you like the idea, run with it. Maybe I only got 3/4 of the way there, but you see some things because of either mistakes I made or how I built it or whatever, that it plants the seeds for you to be able to do more. And that's great. But I'm not putting stuff up every single day saying, go take this into your ladder and go get mythic. Now, some people do. I mean, I see people post regularly and they're thankful and whatever. And that it's awesome. I appreciate it. I think it's great that people can have success with stuff I'm putting up. But not everything I put up is designed for competitive play. You know, not everything article out there is for competitive readers. There's people who just want to know about the history of something and they think it's cool. So now they want to put that card into a deck. And that's cool. They should be able to engage in magic that way. And at the end of the day, all of these casual players getting to enjoy the game the way they do is what allows for there to be more things for you as a competitive player. I mean, I can't stress that enough. And I know I've brought it up on the show before, but the reality is those are the people that are coming in. You know, the competitive guy saying, oh, well, you should never buy boosters unless you're booster drafting and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Because these casual players go in and buy those booster drafts from your local store, you have a place to play FNM every week. You know, because you try to skimp and only buy sleeves before major events where, you know what? These other players coming in playing their kitchen table magic and buying new sleeves every time they get a new commander deck, they're the ones helping pay the bills between the times your sorry butt shows up and quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes here that nobody can see, support your local store, even though you only really show up whenever there's a big prize event or something exceptional. Like, those casual players are the ones doing the work. Let's be real. So if they want to engage with content, leave it be. You should not be making any negative, derogatory statements, whatever, to something that's obviously there just for fun, or the creator is goofing off. Sure, maybe they're making play mistakes or whatever. So what? Literally doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect me. And some people are enjoying it. Let them enjoy their thing. For real. Because they're the reason you get to do a lot of this other stuff. And it's amazing how hard it is for that people to believe. Because I think I've told you before, even when I had my store, if I went to somebody else's store for an event, I made a point to try to buy something from them. That wasn't just snacks. I might, like, if I knew I was going to need sleeves, I would wait and buy sleeves at that store. And I would have people look at me and go like, well, why are you buying sleeves? You have a store. You can probably get these cheaper. And I was like, I had to constantly explain to people that's not the point. Like, I'm showing up using somebody else's business, their employees, their electricity. The least I can do is spend $10. So it's just that mentality that, like, not everything has to be highest efficiency, best value, you know, whatever. Like, some stuff is literally just for fun. And that's okay. Honestly, it's probably encouraged. You know, to bring this show full circle, that's probably how some of y'all get into negative headspaces and do yourself harm. Is you got to take a chance to relax and remember why you started doing a thing and what you appreciate about a thing, and just try to look at your situation with an outside lens every once in a while. Like, take a breath and just say, you know what? I'm going to do something simple or relaxing or whatever with this. Or I'm going to play something that's not super serious. Or maybe I'm going to play a type of deck I don't normally play and just learn something new about the game. Because, man, all you're doing with all that extra thought is just you're creating a large weight for yourself that is just going to be so hard to live up to. Don't compare yourself to other people. Don't judge other people's work because it's not the way you want it to be or whatever. Just let people enjoy what they're enjoying. If it's not harming anyone and you can see people are having fun with it and a creator's putting out content and they've got a following that's enjoying it, leave it be. I see that stuff every day on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, on Twitch. And you know what? I kind of look and go, that's cool. And that's it. I don't post anything. I don't say it because it's not my jam. But it's cool that other people enjoy it. And that's okay. There's things I'm going to make and enjoy, and there's things Brian's going to enjoy. And they're not always going to be the same things. And hell, Brian, as long as I've known you, we have played some games competitively against each other. We played casually, and we have different thoughts on just about every game, I think.
Probably.
And that's okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with the way you've engaged, nothing wrong with the way I engage, and we're still able to be friends.
Exactly.
So, like, I don't get why that negativity exists.
Haters gonna hate, I guess, is the eternal answer to that question.
For real. For real. Haters gonna hate. All right, man. Why don't we wrap things up and you tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
All right. I am DL Caesar on YouTube, the Instagram, Twitter. We also have a family YouTube channel, Alan's Ever After. So by all means, if you're into that sort of thing, come and check that out.
And as always, you can find me on just about everywhere on social at Power Dragon, PowerDragn. Usually streaming on Twitch Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. And I now have a second YouTube channel, Power Dragon Outdoors, if you want to just follow my exploits about my chickens, the smog and smoke going on in the air from the fires, my gardening, and whatever else will be over there. So more ways you can engage with my stuff. But as always, want to say, whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And just ask that you all are wearing your mask, washing your hands, keeping your distance from other humans because we're all icky with the COVID. and let's get back to gaming and socializing the normal way as best and as fast as we can.
If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us at our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.